Hi, and welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. We're here this week where we fought. Wait, how do you say your last name? Because I'm going to fuck that shit up.
Agaive.
Agaive. Mm-hmm. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Rufat is a New York City-based comedian. He's super duper funny. I think we met.
I'm not from New York.
You're not from New York.
Just New York City-based.
New York City-based comedian.
But yeah. I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else, so I'm kind of petitioning for my New Yorkdom.
Ah, so how long have you lived in New York?
More than a decade.
Okay, you can. Yeah, at this point.
Can you knight me after the show?
I'll think about it.
I have a box cutter in my bag. Can you slice my cheek?
That's not how we do that.
Oh, okay. No,
that's
not
how but yeah, New York City based community. Where are you from originally? Everywhere kind of thing?
Azerbaijan, Pennsylvania, Florida. I've been everywhere. Okay. I didn't see it all.
That's different.
I didn't see the western Pennsylvania, the central Florida.
Sounds like horrible places, but you know, shout out to Pennsylvania and Florida.
God has a way of putting me in places where it's horrible.
I got it, including New York City. okay, awesome. So I think we met at like a roast battle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you cool people. You weren't roasting though, you were like hosting.
Yeah, I was hosting.
Okay.
But I was roasting the roasters.
You were roasting the roasters, which, you know, needs to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. I think at that particular roast, they need a roasting for sure. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you got into comedy. Like, you came to New York and then you just be outside?
Mm-mm. I came to New York right after college. I just knew I wanted to come to New York. Okay. I came to New York in 99. Remember I told you that story?
Yeah, but the listeners don't know the story.
Okay, well, to make the story plain and short, I came for for New Year's 98 into 99.
Okay,
my dad kind of left me here alone.
Yeah, with
like an ex-Azerbaijani war veteran.
Yes.
Who took me around the city, and then he took me to a house where they were cooking crack.
Yes, I remember
So basically, my first time in New York City, I saw crack being cooked. So I feel like, you know, I got a nice introduction in 99. I was like, I gotta come back.
That's old school New York too, 99. Like that's mm-hmm. pre-2000.
That's
right
back
there.
That's back when the New Year's glasses, they had the 9 and the 9, so you had the two holes for the eye. Things were easier back then, you know?
No, it was a great time to be alive. I remember back in the day, back then. Mm-hmm. So you say you're from Azerbaijan. I'm saying it wrong. Where is that?
I was born in Baku, Azerbaijan, the capital of Azerbaijan.
And you know, most of our listeners are American, so you're going to have to go deeper because, you know, the education
that's
system.
That's in Caucasia.
Oh, Caucasia. In the Caucasus Mountains? Real white people from?
Nah, see. That's not real white people. You gotta watch Nell Painter.
Wait, what's that?
Nell Painter, she's a professor of like kind of race. Black woman. So, you know, she's kind of an authority. You can't really question black women.
That's true.
So she's an authority on it. But she's talked about how it's really outdated and antiquated that we Caucasian people here in the U.S. are used as a representation for white people.
Yes, that's true. That's interesting because you are the real Caucasian.
We're not the real white. We're the real Caucasian. The real white is like Western Europe, Northern Europe, Nordic, Viking. You know what I mean?
Okay, gotcha.
Like we got sun.
So
we got
our. We got you guys Asian. Where are you guys?
Central Asian. So we just we're like in this weird. You know what? How can I explain kind of what we are?
Okay, I mean, not that it matters. That's not what the podcast is about. But sure,
we kind of like a good thing of in like New York. I wish I could describe it. Are we like maybe the Staten Island of the world?
Maybe.
We're just kind of like, what the fuck is that,
maybe,
right?
Because I think people want to know because, you know, we consider Caucasians took that, you know, the Europeans, Caucasians, whatever. But it was just some made-up shit, some made-up American shit
It was a German guy who collected skulls and he thought our skulls looked cool.
Pseudoscience, yeah.
Yeah, and it's ever since then, I don't even think we get backlash from it. It's just kind of like... Well, nobody cares about my culture here, so it's basically nobody cares.
I think I'm from Queens, so like I feel like it's like the epicenter of all cultures. So I usually care about people's cultures, mm-hmm. but yeah, pseudo racial American bullshit science. Got it.
But see, we're not even really in Queens like that, my people.
Oh, wait, no, you aren't, because I've never really met y'all like
Brighton
that.
Beach. Got it. Sheepshead Bay.
Out in Brooklyn. Got it. Okay, cool. I like that. Okay, like that. So you came here a while ago to start doing comedy, and
I came here, I was a rapper.
You were doing music.
Yeah, I was doing music.
Wait, so how long did you rap versus doing comedy?
I think I started when I was 13. I quit when I was 27.
Okay, you quit rapping. You still rap occasionally? Are you still down
with
the rap?
I can still do it. It's not a hard skill to, like, you know, bring back up.
Also, there's correlation between rapping and comedy, right?
Like, yeah, there's the writing, there's the punchlines, keeping things kind of, you know.
Yeah. There's some similarities.
Me never making it in music, me never making it in comedy. It all makes sense.
We've all made it. Well, not really, but anyway.
All right. Yeah. Dig deeper into that feeling.
Awesome. So love that. So where do you live now in New York City?
Bed-Stuy.
Rent or buy?
Rent or buy.
Because it's no longer do or die. It's rent or buy. Mm-hmm. Bed-Stuy has changed drastically.
Shout out to my neighbors. Shout out to the head of the block party committee.
Oh, nice.
Marcia. Let's see. You know, my boy Joe. He got the H281.
Nice.
He's the best. Shout out to Claude. He owns a building across the street, old school.
Okay. How long you live in Bed-Stuy? It sounds like you lived there for a while.
Nah, I've just been good friends with my neighbors.
Okay, that's nice. I don't know any of them. I don't like any of my neighbors because they're all transplants and they ain't from Astoria. Like, I'm from Astoria.
Shout out to Miss Dawn, who told me I was mean, even though she's the meanest lady on the block.
She told you were mean? Mm-hmm. That means she liked you.
Yeah, she was like, "You mean? I thought you were gonna be." Because I painted her house, but she had chaos over there. Sorry, Dawn, I didn't mean to put your business.
But that
means
if she called you mean and you think she's mean, that means she likes you.
That's
like New York City.
I think in another life we would maybe date.
Oh, nice. You and Miss Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Go. Shout out to you and Miss Dawn. Okay, but this week, because this is an emotional wellness comedy podcast, we're here to talk about our feelings and go deep. And this week, we're going to talk about anger, which is your topic. So I'm going to ask you to tell us more about what you mean by anger.
Anger. I think when I was a kid, I was pretty like angry, and I would kind of like, you know, be enraged because, you know, I didn't have like a very very secure home life between my mom and my dad.
Kind
of split custody.
Children of divorce.
You know, mom lived in the city, dad lived in the burbs.
Okay.
So, like, I just, nothing to me was really like, I always felt like I was in flux. And, like, you know, as a kid, I think the only way to, like, you know, respond to that, and I think is healthy, is to just be angry, and to kind of like rebel.
Got it. That's interesting, because I feel like, now I remember, we talked about this, because my parents are also divorced. My mom lived in Queens. My dad moved to the suburbs of Jersey, because he was like, these heathens in Queens. But I'm like, dude, you live in Jersey anyway. More heathens. But essentially, I had always chose to live with my mom, though. I was never in flux. I was just like, I'm staying with my mama. I'll visit you on the weekends and the holidays type things. So I would say I was an angry kid, but I don't know if I was that angry. I was more like mischievous. How would you describe your anger?
What I think, like my anger?
Yeah, how would you describe
it? I could
it?
Be like hurt. I could say the most hurtful things to somebody.
Oh, you would say hurtful?
Yeah.
Their classmates or your parents?
Just anybody. Just anybody. Okay. I would know how to like cut deep. And I think still to this day, like, because I know how to, I can take on much struggle. Like, I can take on struggle. I could be quiet. I mean, that's why I'm so maybe well-suited for comedy, and why I like it is because I like, you know, feeling struggle. But I think that now I'm starting to realize that, like, what am I, A, doing it for? B, I'll never know. Like, this will never give me any true value.
Okay.
Like, me struggling won't prove how good of a comic I am to anybody, not even myself. I guess deep down, I'm looking, when you don't have, like, security, you're in a constant, like, search for, like, truth. So I'm always looking for, like, honesty and truth. And sometimes I just need to, like, chill out and realize I don't need to, like, when I first meet somebody, I don't need to just be like the most. But I do. I'd like, and sometimes it rubs people the wrong way.
Got it. So let's go back to your childhood for a second in terms of expressing your anger. Is this something that, did you yell at your parents? Do you have siblings?
Everybody. I didn't care.
Did you get in trouble in school?
Yeah.
Can you talk us through like one of the times you got in trouble in school being angry?
I mean, just like, I would say even like at my basketball coaches, you know what I mean? They started, when I went to like the suburban school for a year or two, they started like running plays.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, I'm from the city. We just dribble a lot and then shoot. And so, like, I think I would get angry because I had to, like, be in this atmosphere, and maybe I'm undiagnosed, like, I don't know, ADHD, but, like...
I mean, we all have ADHD.
I think I just, like, yeah. But I think I would get, like, kind of upset because I was like, I just need some time to figure things out, and I don't really... Nothing makes sense to me. Because I think my anger stems from, like, my lack of respect for authority. Right.
I have a lack of respect. I appreciate that. I but I understand that. Yes.
And it stretches even now as an adult, like club bookers.
Oh yeah, I'm like, fuck them.
Right. Like
fuck everybody.
Club bookers, teachers.
Yeah.
You know,
the police. I don't like them.
Yeah, anybody who wields some anybody who wields some sense of authority, I think from a young age, when you see your parents as being like less than perfect, you're just like, well, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
So
why should I trust them just because they're older?
Wow, that's so... You know what's so funny? I also have a lack of authority. I never put it that way. Like, if you see your parents, like arguing and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, these adults don't have the answer. Why the fuck are you telling me what to do?
Yeah.
That is so interesting. So you came from the city school, then you went to the suburbs. You know, like, I'm assuming...
For a little bit, and then I went back.
Suburbs, like, I don't know. I feel like white people have rules. I'm assuming they're white in the suburbs.
Yeah. The rules are different.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because, it's different. I don't know. It's a different set of rules. So you have to assimilate. Basically, you have to reassimilate to a new culture.
I mean, if you really want to talk about it, the reason why places like the 13 Ivy League schools exist, and you got your Harvard.
Wait, now you're talking about the Ivy League schools?
What happened? No, I mean, if you realize why things like that exist and why it's important for people to get into those things to then be like our next leaders and politicians.
Yeah.
It's not that those people are smarter than anybody,
they're
right?
Not smarter. They're not
it's not that
all.
They're like, you know, better or anything like that. It's those places just teach people how to follow social cues, right? Unless you're training to like become a doctor or a heart surgeon. Other than that, those places just teach you how to like follow certain social rules so you could make it in the upper echelon of society. Like they teach, basically higher education teaches you how to be a snake.
I mean, you can say it like that. I mean,
yeah.
I think it does. I definitely do think it does for certain people also forces their network. So like people with money hang out with other people with money and like they just kind of like, I don't know, clusterfuck each other and like
again another
gatekeeping like establishment, so you can't really break it. I get that.
Another thing like that I just again lack of rich, like rich people or people with like some sense of entitlement, or if I see like people that are like more like nepo, you know, I don't really respect it.
I don't respect it because I work really hard. So I don't respect it because I don't respect.
And that is probably my inclination for chaos.
Got it.
I want chaos.
All right, so got that. So school, tough growing up. What about teenage years?
Pretty wild starting off, right? I was going to have sex when I was 12.
You had sex when you were 12?
I was about to.
And then what happened?
the girl's mother knocked on the door and I ran to the bathroom. Oh, like 13, 12.
Okay, yeah,
like
right around my age. Okay.
Yeah, it was Florida. It was the summer.
Oh, okay. Hot outside.
Yeah, it was hot outside. And so, you know, like I ran to the bathroom, hid, and then she broke the screen. But then when I went out the screen, she's like, you got to fix the screen. So I'm there like fixing the screen before I run upstairs. She was like the downstairs. I was visiting Florida to live in Florida. And I remember came back to school, I was like, yo, I was in sixth grade. I was like, I was about to have sex. But then I moved to Florida and I found Jesus.
Is that true?
Yeah. Okay. I found Jesus and I didn't have sex until I was 22.
Aw, that's whole decade. A cute story, I guess.
It wasn't, it was just a repressed story.
Oh, so what's it got? So that did that lead to some sort of anger, like mm-mm. the waiting or whatever?
I don't think it led to anger. I think it taught me a whole new level of skills. I think every
Christianity.
I think every person, yeah, because it now taught me to respect authority, right?
That's true. Christianity indoctrination, you could call it.
I mean, yeah, Christianity is all about kissing the ring and submissiveness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the biggest mafia that exists in the U.S.
No, that's true, yes.
You know?
And the world, for sure.
Yeah. But I think it did teach me a lot. And mind you, like, getting connected with people in church, I was able to have, you know, a sense of community.
That's true. Church does provide
You know, like,
that.
it's not all negative. I'm not going to sit here...
I was a church kid. I know. There's value in church, community, people, things like that. But at 22, you were already in New York?
No.
You weren't in New York yet.
Not yet. No,
okay,
no, no.
You weren't in New York.
I got here like when I was 24, 25.
Got it. And where'd you go to school?
Florida State. Tallahassee.
That's a interesting school. Okay. So basically, you were a rebellious child because of your parents or what have you.
What do you mean?
Or just because
just the world. Just you know, I don't want to blame my parents for everything.
It usually comes back to them. Yeah. When it comes to everything, honestly. And then, like, you found Jesus for a little bit after you
for
almost...
For a whole, like, a decade, a third of my life. Third of my life.
You know what's so funny? I was religious less than you, but it was around, 12 to about 19. I lost it.
I think every person should do a little bit of time.
With Jesus?
Really... submitted to a religion for a couple of years, unbeknownst to them.
It
doesn't
true.
Have to be Jesus necessarily.
It could be
anything, because then you'll have a little bit more compassion and mercy for the other side. Mm-hmm. You still get into arguments with them.
Yeah.
I still get into arguments with my Christian friends all the time.
I mean, yeah, of course. That's fine.
But not like yelling matches, just like, come on, you know better.
Got it.
You know?
So, you here in New York City, how does your anger manifest here in New York? Because this city makes you... Because we walk angry. Like, we just angry. We wake... I mean, this is like a bad city for angry people.
Yes. But the city keeps you young. So that's the thing.
It does.
The city keeps you young. But it makes you angry. Sometimes I have to decipher whether, like, am I angry, or am I upset because some guy, you know, cut me off to go to a red light.
Yeah, I mean,
100 feet away from me. Like, dude, what are you? You was about to. A dude one morning kept like I'm literally leaving my house. He, you know, was riding my car. I just stopped. I was like, dude, just go. He goes and he almost hits a bus just to get to a stop sign.
I mean, people are aggressive drive, especially in Brooklyn, I would say. It's a Brooklyn thing. No, it's all the city. Everyone's really aggressive. Has your anger, in a sense, since moving to the city, are there any situations you can point to, maybe in work or comedy, maybe? I think
I've been through the fucking... I've been through the fucking presser, like a shot of a shot of espresso, like, you know, when they grind you up and then they fucking pat you down and they fucking, you know, that's what I feel like. Sense of the word.
Okay.
Like, I've been broke here. I've been here. Like, I have had no help from my family. I got it from the fucking mud. You know what I mean?
It's
like, that's why I think, like, you know, sometimes, like, I'll meet people and people are, I think I do have, like, angry tendencies, because I'll be like, nah, you're not about to just, like, write me off with this, like, assumption or stereotype in your head about who I am. No, like, I'm gonna, like, let you really know what it is.
But isn't that a good thing? Like, doesn't the spite drive you? I mean, I call that out of spite. I do a lot of shit out of spite. I feel like
I do think it drives you. And I think, like, all of my people I look up to, but I mean, I don't like using, but yeah, like, yeah, I'm into spiteful people.
No, I get that. I mean, I'm petty. I get it.
It's not even petty. It's just that, like, it's just like you need... we all need fuel, and it's hard.
Sure, despite this drive,
it's hard to like use love as fuel.
No, that's true. Yeah, love is demotivating. Okay, but why do you think anger is like an issue? Has there been a problem? Has someone called
My most recent breakup is because I was angry. Okay, I was angry. But mind you, that person, we talk. I think they still want to get back. We're kind of like in a weird gray area.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
And, but yeah.
But what were you angry about? How did your anger manifest?
I think I was going through a lot in that time in my life. Like, a lot of, I had a lot of highs as a comic.
Yeah.
And then, like, the bottom fell out.
Got it.
And it was tough on me because, like I said, I have nothing. Everything I got was like, now mind you, not just all of my, of course, like friends. I really grinded for mine, I always get this thing from my peers. Whenever I get something, they're like, oh, you deserved it. And it's like, no, fuck that.
I hate when people say,
I deserved it. I want some shit I don't deserve because I need a fucking break, yo.
No,
I'm getting angry right now talking about it. You deserved it. Fuck you. Deserved it.
No, I get what you're... Okay, I get what you're saying. So, all right. So, I have a theory about men in general. I assume you're a heterosexual man.
Just yes.
Okay.
But, I dress well. I also have a web series about how to be a guy.
Okay.
So, I'm not like your heterosexual, like... Man,
well, I'm not.
I realize that. I'm just a guy.
I'm just clarifying for.
I know, but I just want them to know out there, like I'm just a guy.
He's not like, all right, so he's not like whatever.
I'm not a man. I would never call myself a man.
Okay, so a guy. I assume you're a guy. So I have a theory about guys. So I kind of think like. For me, in my experience dating guys, whenever things aren't going their way, I feel like it usually sometimes manifests as anger in the relationship. I don't think men are capable of carrying out successful relationships unless they're personally happy with their career. This is just a theory I have. That's how I've seen it manifest. And do you think, like, your personal unhappiness made you unsuccessful in this last relationship?
So I don't think I was necessarily unsuccessful in it. I think, like, there was a... Mind you, it was a long-distance relationship.
Oh, wait. You didn't mean to tell me. How long was this distance?
17 hours.
Where was this person? Sorry.
Dallas.
Oh, that's weird. 17 hours. You can fly to Dallas in 4, right?
But that's how career-oriented I am. I didn't really mind the distance because, like...
Oh, because it's hard to go out with people anyway. I'm out here working.
Yeah, I don't like going out with people.
No, because you have to do comedy. You have time to go out with people, technically.
No, I know.
that's how it goes.
And I like getting to know people on a more personal level. You know, like, yeah, I like to get to know people. Unless, like, we're having a one-night stand, I think all the other stuff is, like, if I know I'm probably not going to be, like, with you, like, we just don't really click like that.
Okay.
Then it's kind of like a waste of my time.
Okay, but I'm still not getting to, like, what exactly... I need the what? Sorry.
What?
For our listeners. Like, so what exactly happened? Like, what was that angry moment? Was it an argument?
I think what happened was I was dating somebody who was a little mean themselves, and I like that.
Okay.
I like a bit of a mean gal.
That makes sense. Okay.
But I think what it was is that just, like... I couldn't take that when I was in that low period.
You know what I mean?
So it was just like, hey, man, like, I already feel like shit. So, like, you being shitty to me or, like, you being mean or abrasive, it's not really fucking helping me.
Because,
like, again, I'm one of those people that's like, I'm not going to let somebody... I don't know, like walk all over. It wasn't even like a walk all over. It's just like, nah, if I'm not gonna be like the cat that runs with its, you know, tail between its legs. It's like, nah, you want the pressure. Let's debate, let's talk, let's argue.
Got it. Okay.
What's up?
Do you get energy from arguing?
No, I just don't. I don't like when there's like a fakeness.
So you need to get to the bottom of things.
I need to get to the bottom of things.
I got it. No, I understand that. No, I understand. You can tell when someone's not being real and someone's being fake.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Got you.
Yes,
okay,
I need to get to the bottom of things.
Got you. So got you on that point. So that's relationship wise. What about work wise? In terms of, has anger come up in any way as it relates to? I mean, I get angry. I mean, I think comics are always angry.
I think in my last job, I was a little bit like, it would come out. The frustration would come out. But for the most part, I think I'm always usually a good worker. I do get mad when things don't make sense and I'm trying to make them make sense.
Okay.
Like bad operational stuff.
Okay, so you can't ignore it. And you're
and I'm like, why are you doing it this way? It could be done totally easier. So that's why I've worked for myself the last 3 years and I've made more money than I've ever made in my life.
Okay, so you kind of took out the middleman.
And people love me. People love my work.
You took out the middleman in regards to that. Now, but when you have to work with people, like, do you think, has anyone ever told you no one cares that you're right? Like, has anyone ever told you that? Someone told me, like, so here's a, because there's a interesting thing. Only reason, because I identify with your issues in a sense, but working with people, a lot of the times, like, no one cares that you're right or that you have the right way, right? They just want you to follow some bullshit they laid out.
Exactly.
Have you ever kind of gone with the flow and just been, like, chill about it?
I mean, I have, but, like, that leads to a person feeling meaningless. Like,
okay, you that's feel why, like that
why that's
that.
Why bullshit jobs exist. You know, there's like this thing, so for a lot of my work, I was like working like dead end, like retail stuff or blah blah blah. But then like I took things into my own hands and I became like an interior painter for houses. And like my work is like, again, the same thing that I apply to my comedy. Like the joke's gotta be tailored.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? My work, like, that's just the way that I work.
No, you take pride.
I don't love podcasts because, like, it just seems like, and I'm not knocking you, but I'm just like, we having like a, there's something that's cool about like a conversation, but I want to be able to like kind of sculpt something out a little bit. You know, I like being able to like manipulate, not a person, but like a thing, like, you know.
You want to present things in the best possible way to present. So when things don't necessarily go that way, it's not optimal. Now, going back to the reason why I asked this question, so you wouldn't be the type of person just to be like, you know what? I'm getting paid to be here. Let me just follow this bullshit and go about my business.
Yeah. But usually what I ended up learning is like, I'm getting paid to be here. That's cool. But you'd probably get paid more if you just took things into your own hands. And that's not me telling people to quit their jobs or quit their 9-to-5, because I have been down to 19 cents in New York City on my way to a job interview. You know, I would just say that, like, if you are doubting yourself, right? And I doubt myself all the time. When I hit that low, when I got everything that I thought I wanted in comedy, and then I kind of like was beginning to like lose it. Like, you realize that, like, oh, I'm giving all these, like, people all this power over my life to, like, give me importance. But, like, that's one thing, like, working for myself has taught me. It's like, oh, I could just, like, make all this money and cut out the middleman and do work the way I think it should be done.
Okay, no, that's true. All right. So that's where you are right now.
And
now,
I think that's how I'm I'm approaching comedy.
Okay, so that's how you're approaching comedy. So getting back to the issue, because anger is one of those things. So, like, I've seen anger manifest in different ways. Both of my parents are very angry people, but, like, in certain ways. My mom needs to be pushed to the limit. Like, she will take a lot of shit, but if you push her, she will throw a computer across the room. She will never hit anybody, but she will throw a computer across the room. My dad yells. Like, when he gets angry, he yells. I go more after my dad. Like, I just start yelling. I don't hold shit in. I'm not a person to hold shit in. But, like, in terms of the yelling, I will yell at someone and then regret the way I reacted so abruptly. So in terms of dealing with my anger, I've tried to take a step back and kind of think about how I want to approach the situation. Now, you're saying you have frustrations around people. Obviously, so at work, things like that, as we all do in comedy, as we all do. I create beef every day. I curse somebody out. I curse somebody out this morning. But at the end of the day, in terms of when it comes to your loved ones, in a sense, or that the people you care about, like, have you done any work in terms of as it relates to the repercussions of getting angry?
So I will say this about my anger. I think that, I've never, ever, ever, ever been physical. I've never, ever been, like, verbally abusive, right? I have very close bonds with my friends. I have some of the, I think, most amazing friends on the face of this planet who are very, like, pure, centered, focused individuals, right? I have very good relations with my closest brother, my mother, my grandparents. Now, am I a solitary person? Yes. Did my grandfather recently call me a lone wolf the last time we took him for a vacation? Yes.
Okay. But
that's because he cut the garlic the wrong way. I didn't like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He didn't take the clove off. He cut through clove. He let the knife go through two different cloves.
So you didn't talk to him? Is that?
I just was like, who cut this garlic? And he's like, I cut the garlic. What you gonna do about it? Now that's an angry man. He's punched me in the face before.
Well, you don't have to get punched in the face. I usually don't hurt people when I'm angry. But, all right, so you see, saying the way you deal with your anger is in solitary?
I think, yeah.
So you're basically giving people the mean shoulder. You're not necessarily lashing out. You're being quiet and being that person. Like, being like, I'm not, like, you're not saying nothing, but you're just like, I ain't talking.
Oh, so you're somebody.
That is petty. That's the definition of
me. How is that petty?
That's so fucking petty.
How is that petty?
That's the most petty. So, but, all right, so that's how you manifest your anger. That is petty, by the way. What sign are you?
Cancer.
Oh, my God. I'm a Cancer. We fucking petty people. Like, it's like our pedigree. That's what we do. So that's how
pedigree.
But yeah, it's our petty pedigree. Nice. That's how we get people back. We have to do something to get people back. I yell at people directly. Mm-hmm. You ice them out. So have you iced anybody out that you have regretted icing out? Or do you think about how you've iced people out and, like, wish you would have handled things differently?
No, I think that most relationships that I have, I've, you know, like, gone back to,
you've reconciled if you...
Yeah, I think I've learned enough at this point.
Did you have to go back and apologize?
Or? Yeah, you do have to go back to apologize.
Okay, so that's
And if anything, my ex actually apologized to me.
She apologized to you for being mean to you. Yeah. A Cancer needs that.
Sometimes people are angry. Sometimes people are mean. But I think there's
still
a difference.
Do you still ice people out? Is that a tactic you still use?
I just don't. I don't do all that. And that this is probably bad for a comedy career, but I don't do all that, like.
Oh, yeah. What is that? I don't even know what that means.
I don't do all that, like, you know, trying to be like.
You ain't trying to be up in people's face to tell my hee hee hee.
Nah, I don't butter up. I don't butter up to people. If you want to get to know me, get to know me. If you don't want to get to know me, cool. You want to get to know me when I have hundreds of thousands of followers, then cool. Get to know me then. If I mean less to you because I don't right now, cool. That's on you. That's more of a your values thing as a human being.
Okay, no, I understand that.
You know what I mean?
No, I definitely understand that. So, all right. So, I guess you've grown up in a sense. So, whoever you had some kind of whatever with, you've kind of made up. That's also very Cancer. We're big on, like, keeping relationships going because that's the type of people we are. Mm-hmm. But do you have any tips for our listeners in terms of, like, how you kind of turned your anger... I don't know, into a more productive way? You said, it sounds like you isolate, which is Not necessarily optimal, but...
No. I think that... So, I want to get better at this, but, like, I think... So, I need... And I'm not really doing this, like, the way I should be, but physical exercise, running, any cardio activity added with... What's his name? Phil Stutz. He is Jonah Hill's.
Oh yeah, I saw that documentary.
Therapist.
Yeah, I saw that on
he has
Netflix.
A good book called The Tools.
Okay,
and I think he provides tools that you can do in real time, depending on like what you're dealing with at that point. And he has a tool called Active Love.
Okay,
you know. So have I been using the tools? That's the thing. That's the thing that he warns you about. He's like. A lot of people stop using them. Most people stop using them. But, like, you just got to keep being consistent. So, like, it's just, like, a consistency thing of, like, you got to... I think for me, it's, like, I had to figure out what type of comedian am I? What's the best ways that I work? How do I work best? I know that I work best on my own. I'm too... Like, unless I really see eye to eye with the person that I'm collaborating with...
Yeah.
I don't know if I could really work with them because a lot of people have very low standards.
No, that's true.
And a lot of people aren't very good at what they do.
No, that's also very true. I agree with that. So your steps, in a sense, so you kind of know who you are. So you create an environment which is conducive to how you work.
Yeah. Know how you're gonna work best. Mm-hmm. You know, like. Like, know what you are able to offer up in a relationship. Know what you're able to offer up as far as, like, you know, creatively.
Got it. And cardio. Nothing else? No, 1, 2, 3.
Eat healthy. It's all about routine.
Routine does help people.
Get the roasted nut mix that's unsalted. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, get the roasted nut mix that's unsalted. Drink your water in the morning. Try as hard as you can to stay off social media. I'm so ashamed that I look at my phone as much as I do because, like, everything on social... Like, I don't see anything...
Social media makes you mad, right? It makes me mad. I start yelling at people in the morning.
It's not even that it makes me mad. It makes me mad that I look at it and it's so artistically unappealing. There's nothing artistically amazing going on social media.
No, I don't think
I can remember the last time I scrolled down social media and been like, oh, this art really resonated with me. No, it's all like bullshit with shitty graphics. It makes me kind of fucking really surprised that we live in 2023 and like things look so poorly, like they look so bad.
Are you angry about this right now?
Yeah. like just the way that social media looks, it doesn't look good. Maybe that's
boring.
The appeal that everyone can get on there and kind of just... I see the... I'm not trying to be like an old guy. I get it. But like the fact that we spend as much time as we do on it and it's like...
No, it's a waste of time for sure. I like... Honestly, if it wasn't for comedy, I would have deleted every single app that I own. I don't even like posting.
If it wasn't for me...
I don't even like posting.
If it wasn't for my love of, like, comedy and, like, constructing a good bit and making people laugh and being the center of attention and no one else talking but me, I would probably just kind of, like, live a very off-the-grid life, you know, move somewhere where I can purchase some land and get some goats.
But you do activities that keep you in front of people all the time.
Yeah. That's the thing, as I do like people.
Okay, no, you definitely like people. I can see that. So in terms of tips, routine, definitely cardio. You like the book? Everyone likes Jonah Hill's therapist. He's very, very good.
He's very, very good.
And I also heard something about you actually keeping communication open with people in your life to like maybe go back and apologize, maintain relationships. So there's probably some admittance that you were wrong in certain situations and things of that nature.
Yeah, just be like, you know, just be human enough to like kind of talk things out with people and try to, like, you know, offer up a bridge, you're not going to make very many best friends, right? You should only have, like, not even like you should. Time is only going to allot you to have so many relationships.
No, that's true.
So you figure out the relationships that are going to be worth your, and when I say worth your time, I'm not talking about how many followers this person has or how successful, like, what is it worth my time? No, I'm talking about, like, you know, a good friend who actually values you and adores you, and you pour into that, and everybody else is you can be honest with them. You can be completely yourself. You can be like I challenge, be abrasive. Be fucking, say some wild shit. It's refreshing when people walk inside of your mist and your circle, fucking let loose on them.
I be saying wild shit every day. I don't give a fuck.
I think that's good.
I mean, because
people need a refresher. People need a refresher because people go around from social circle to social circle, and what they'll get a lot of the times is like very like political, like, you know, political jargon.
I don't like politics.
And I'm not talking about like talking about politics. I'm talking about you know, like kissing babies.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
No. Like, this is fake. Like, nigga, I don't know you. Like, why are you talking to me? No, I get it. No, yeah. I totally get it. It's okay. Okay, God. Keep it real. You have a very New York attitude, but I feel like it's very New York.
I trick a lot of New Yorkers when I first meet them. They're like, oh, so you're from here.
And I mean, like, you're ethnically kind of ambiguous from some random place that's very New York.
Mm-hmm.
A little angry, that's very New York, and then you say what you want. So yeah, that's all very new. These are all very New York things, I think. I mean, from a native, not like the
yeah
fake
no
people
I've
that move
I've
here.
I've embraced New York. I love New York. It's where I've always wanted to be, you know. I was always it was always that northern star.
Got it. I like
you know, off in the distance.
Got
it. I mean, I guess.
I love it. I yeah. love it. No, I really.
When
I love
it comes
that.
To the dream, it's like I'm getting there, but
you'll get
ain't
there.
Ain't a dream yet.
I feel like everyone gets, you know, what they want eventually.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. No, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. I truly believe in that. Because not everybody need to hear the exact yeah. truth all the goddamn time. It's not that important, right? So I like that. Okay. So I like that. I definitely like that. It sounds like you've kind of come a far way from being a little boy on your anger journey, for lack of a better term. So we're kind of done with that, but not really, but we'll see how it works.
But I mean, when are you ever done with anything? This life is like no one's going to ever get it.
No, that's true. But
you
we
know
are
what
done,
I mean?
We're done.
Oh, no one's ever gonna get it.
We are done here, technically.
Yeah, done here, only to, like, you know, go on to
go on to do some other shit. So towards this portion of the show, we talked about yeah, you're not gonna be done with your anger, but what is something you're really, really not done with? So I usually kick off and talk about some dumb shit that I'm not done with. And this week, for some odd reason, I decided to start watching that stupid show You on Netflix about that stalker nigga. What's his name? Dan Humphries. That's not his real name. I don't know the actor's name, but it's the nigga from Gossip Girl who used to play Dan Humphries. Now he's some stalker nigga. Keep in mind, this show is mad old, but I just started watching it. After watching a few episodes, I don't know why we were watching this white man for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years stalk people, but bitches like that shit. I think it's interesting, but after the first season, I don't need to watch this shit any longer. But
okay.
I thought it's something I'm not done with because I haven't finished the first season yet. I have a few more episodes left. I don't understand why it's so popular, but I'm going to finish this first season. So that's why.
So we're talking about something we're not done with?
Yeah, yeah. Talk about something you're not done with.
I mean,
I
can give you the best example. I am a diehard Los Angeles Lakers fan.
Oh, really?
And I can't name how many times this year I've, you know, tuned in and sat back and watched them lose the closest games by making the dumbest mistakes. And because they've made some new trades, they've acquired some new players.
Okay.
I think there's always hope and optimism as a Lakers fan. So we're 13th out of, like, what, 16 teams
now? Yeah, you guys. But
we're
guys
still close enough
from
to where we can make it into the playoffs. So I'm never done with my Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, that's like blasphemy here in New York City, but we have a horrible sports team. So I guess, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I'm an immigrant, so I kind of, when I first started watching sports, I had the pick of the litter. I would just, you know, like I like who I like, and I still like them. So I'm a Cowboys, Yankees, and Lakers fan.
Nice. I love that.
I got a team on every coast.
Okay, so you're not done with the Lakers. Where can I guess find you?
You can find me on YouTube at, so like my web show is called My Guy. You can find me on Instagram at RUFAT_AGAYEV. Just type in like at RUFAT. I'm the first person that pops up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us here today. I'm also being sharing your journey. So silly. Thank you, Rafat. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Namaste. Yeah.